Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt.
I don't know. I keep trudging around this course with him. I spend the best years of my life with this fella. All he does, up the fairway, down again. It's a wonder he didn't get me hold of the flag.
Sprague.
That looked fine until you hit it.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two here on The Fan. A lot to get to in the second hour, but we're going to start bringing it back, baby. The NFL whip around. Oh, there it is. Wait for it.
Frozen tundra.
Yes. How about them Cowboys?
All right, we'll start. How long was the NFL whip around gone? 2 months?
I think we eliminated it during the Blazer playoff run, so probably longer than that because that felt like it was 6 months ago.
It does feel that way. I'll start with this one. I was reading Peter King's Football Morning in America article.
Uh-huh.
And after the first 5 pages of Peyton Manning to a TV shows, because I just don't care.
What TV shows is he going to do this year?
He's doing an ESPN Plus where he dives into the background information of football.
So basically like a Kobe Bryant kind of thing. Doesn't Kobe do those? Or like he watches film?
He does details. So okay. He details and breaks down guys' games on the court. This is like Peyton Manning. This is an example that'll be in one story. Peyton Manning found out a guy back during the Depression era lost all his money and still went and bought an NFL franchise for $50,000. This was when they wore leather helmets. And he didn't know this story. So the guy bought a team that ended up turning into the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's pretty wild.
He is also the guy that hammered and hammered at the league to only play on Sundays and do a blackout on Sundays. And he swayed the league to then change their schedule.
You piqued my interest here.
Well, see, that's interesting stuff that Peyton Manning's been doing.
So Peyton Manning's going to talk about interesting guys like that.
He'll also do funny things. Like, I guess he's mixing in some sketch routines.
Oh.
So one instance is he'll be on top of a building in New York, and he throws a football down a building to Chris Carter.
Okay.
There's a backstory to it. I can't remember what it was. But
got it.
That's what the Peyton Manning stuff was.
Like Letterman throwing watermelons off of the roof or
kind
whatever,
of,
seeing
yeah.
if it smashes.
Kind of. But one thing I took away from it was we talked about the 18-game schedule and how players would only be eligible for 16 of the 18.
That we did.
Well, this is not going to happen. According to Peter King, only two owners want this to go down, which tells you this was never a real possibility in the first place. And the way people ran with that story was probably a little irresponsible, acting like it was really going to go down.
Sure.
When in reality, two of the 32 owners wanted it.
Well, this is also something you got to keep in mind. I think the NFL is smart about floating things out there and knowing that they could use it as leverage because the players are not happy about a lot of different things going on in the league right now, whether it's more guaranteed money, whether it's franchise tags, whether it's long-term health care. There's all sorts of things that the players are not happy about. And the NFL at times in the past has used this expanded schedule as a thing that they'll float it out in the media. People will run with it and they'll talk about it and say, this is what we want to do. This is what the owners want. And then when it comes time to negotiate, they'll say, okay, fine, we can't do an 18-game schedule. Then you don't get X, Y, and Z during this negotiation. And they can use it as a tactic. I don't know if they're doing that this time. But that is important to keep in mind, because that was one of those ideas. When you read it and you hear about it, you just kind of shake your head because it's so ridiculously dumb to go 18 games, a 16-game limit. Look, I get we want to cut down on the regular season or the preseason. Four preseason games is too much, but like this call for more football, we don't need, like, 16 games is perfect. We don't need 18 games. Half the time you get to the playoffs and it's about who's healthy and who's not. Like, we just went through this with Aaron Rodgers in the last segment. Granted, he got hurt in week one, but you don't want these guys getting hurt. You already play enough football. It's a physical, violent sport. You don't need to add two more regular season games. It brings nothing other than more money to the owner's pockets and to the TV providers. 16's perfect. Keep the model as is.
Moving on in the NFL whip around, we go to Atlanta, where they're on a deadline to get these guys from franchise tag to extensions, which is why we talked about Jadeveon Clowney earlier. He didn't reach an agreement, so he'll play at $15.67 million. Well, Grady Jarrett of the Falcons reached an agreement with his team, 4 years, $68 million. He was given the franchise tag earlier this season. He signed it, which set him up to make 15.2 had they not reached a multi-year agreement by today's deadline 7 minutes ago at 1 o'clock. But they did. They reached an agreement. Pro Football Focus sent out a tweet on Grady Jarrett and said he has had one of the more seven remarkable seasons by a defensive tackle they have ever seen. We know how effective he is when he plays, and Atlanta has locked up their defensive tackle pass rusher for the next 4 years.
Well, and again, this gets back to an issue of guaranteed money. That's what these guys want. You play for 1 year under the franchise tag, you're getting about, what, $15 million guaranteed, and then who knows, you could get hurt, something could happen, and you have no long-term security. He was holding out, and I'm happy he got the deal. Ross Tucker had a funny tweet about, I remember when Grady Jarrett was too small to draft because he's like 6'9" and 6'1" and 250 pounds. So he wasn't a big-time defensive lineman, but now you look at per-year base salary, he's behind only Aaron Donald and Fletcher Cox for interior defensive linemen, and he got $42.5 million guaranteed in this deal. Could earn up to 68, probably won't happen because that's the way these deals work, but he knows he's going to see $42.5 million guaranteed. So he fought for this. He wanted it, and he got nearly an extra $30 million on top of what the franchise tag would be, and he gets some security. Good for him.
Yeah. In other news, in not-so-happy times in Dallas, you've got Melvin Gordon saying that, look, he's going to sit out of training camp. He might even demand a trade if he doesn't reach an agreement with the Chargers. Ezekiel Elliott of the Cowboys is doing kind of the same thing. Per a league source, Elliott has privately said that he will hold out of training camp unless he gets a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys haven't focused on giving Elliott that new contract, largely because they don't have to. They have instead focused on players with more immediate paths to free agency, from defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence, who signed, and Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper. Both are still working on their deals. I read all that from ProFootballTalk.com, but I saw the headline on ESPN, Ezekiel Elliott could be sitting out until he gets his contract.
It's going to be interesting to see if he's willing to go through with it. We're going through it, as you mentioned, with Melvin Gordon right now, and the only guy that we've seen stick to his guns is Le'Veon Bell. Earl Thomas didn't remember what did he sit out for, two or three games, whatever it was, came back, ended up breaking his leg, and he wasn't happy about it. He still got paid in the offseason. We've seen a lot of guys threaten, sit out of OTAs, sit out of mini camp, sit out of training camp, sit out of the preseason. But when push comes to shove, they usually come back because they either want the money for one more year, they want to be there for their teammates, the competitive fire's too much, whatever the case may be. So I think with Melvin Gordon, you'll have to keep an eye on it. And Ezekiel Elliott, I don't give him much of a chance to actually sit out a considerable amount of time. He just seems like the kind of guy that wants to throw these rumors out there to see if it can spur some contract action. But time will tell with him, and we'll see if one of these guys turns into the next Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I could be wrong. Ezekiel Elliott doesn't strike me as a man of his word. I feel like he's a really back-and-forth emotional guy, and I think he's saying this to try to get some movement, but is he really willing to lose paychecks and sit out and pull Le'Veon Bell? That I'm not so sure of. We move on in the NFL whip round to San Francisco, where the Niners thought they were losing their place kicker, Robbie Gould. They had offered him the franchise tag. He was not signing it, and then just before the deadline hit, they reached an agreement on a long-term extension. 2 years, $10.5 million, fully guaranteed. That includes an option clause that could turn into a four-year, $19 million deal with 15 guaranteed. Gould and his family reportedly wanted to go back to Chicago.
Yep.
They weren't reaching any traction on that. The Niners wanted to keep him because he had a great year last year, and they reached an agreement. So there you go. Good news for San Francisco. And this is good news for a former 49er who is now in Washington. Alex Smith showed a picture of his leg brace off his leg this morning after 8 months. He is finally free of the leg brace, and now he is just rehabbing that thing. Probably not coming back this year.
No.
This is going to be a very slow recovery if he comes back.
Ever coming back, yeah.
But if he can, awesome. Still good news that he was able to get the leg brace off after 8 months.
On the Robbie Gould note, it was funny. I saw an old takes exposed this morning because you look at that number for a kicker and it's like, wait a minute, what? Because he was threatening. I think he was one of those guys that was threatening to sit out. Like, he did not. I'm not playing on the tag. Like, I'm not doing this. He gets the deal. So he's happy now. But there was a funny quote that was tweeted from the Bears GM when they got rid of Robbie Gould, whatever, a couple of years ago, saying, don't worry, we're going to upgrade. And then, of course, everybody had the pictures of Cody Parkey in the playoff game last year, and they've been trying out guys all summer, and none of them have been able to hit big-time kicks, and they can't find another guy. So if you do think that's too money for a kicker, just think about what Chicago's going through right now, and San Francisco is hoping to avoid that. And it is good news on Alex Smith. I mean, they're clearly moving on, drafting Dwayne Haskins. They're going to go in another direction long-term in the future. But you just hope a guy's able to come back and maybe stick around, play. You'll be a backup for a couple of years, maybe sniff a starting job for a bad team here or there if he can be healthy enough to get back on the field. But that was one of the more gruesome injuries you'll ever see.
And this was good news in Denver for all you Bronco fans out there. I know there's a good amount listening right now. Philip Lindsay believes he is ready for training camp. He says, quote, in my mind, I'm ready. I'm 100%. He told that to Mike Kliss of Nine News in Denver. Remember, he ended his year with that wrist injury. The rookie running back came on the scene. A lot of people thought it was going to be Royce Freeman, and it was Philip Lindsay who went undrafted, stepped up into the scene, and he rushed for 1,000 yards last year. Good news for Bronco fans, as they're hoping this year with Flacco can be better than what they've had the last 2 years. You've already had multiple guys come out and say they are going to surprise everybody.
Aha!
Chris Harris, the latest, saying everybody's sleeping on us. That's great. Denver. Are we buying Denver if Philip Lindsay's 100%?
No, because I don't buy Joe Flacco. I think they can be really good defensively. I like Lindsay. He was always a good back at Colorado. He's one of those guys that kind of goes unnoticed in college, and you wonder, why isn't he getting more attention? I do think the AFC West is a really tough division this year, though. Like, we know what the Chiefs are. We'll see what happens with the Tyreek Hill situation, but Mahomes being back, the Chargers were a playoff team last year. And I don't laugh, but I do think the Raiders are going to be more competitive and better this year than they were last year. So there's not necessarily a gimme in the AFC West, which is going to make it tough.
For the record, you told me not to laugh, so I didn't laugh.
Thank you for not laughing at that. I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm looking at highlights of Philip Lindsay right now.
Okay.
I hate this team as much as anything I hate in my life, but Dallas has the best white uniforms in pro sports.
Okay, with the gray pants.
That turquoise hue, that's such a dope color to me.
It's a good look. I'll give you that.
Do the Broncos have the second best white uniform in pro sports?
The Broncos don't get enough credit for their unis.
Their white ones are pretty clean. Pretty simplistic. It's just a blue stripe down. Yeah, I love the helmet logo. You know, I don't like when teams do too much. I'm instantly thinking, because I said pro sports, so maybe pro
baseball,
sports is wrong.
I would give baseball credence over there because there's some classic baseball
uniforms.
Like my
Braves white uniforms
are
better.
Those are perfect.
But in football, they're probably the second best white ones, right?
Hold on. Let me look at these.
Raiders have a pretty clean look.
Raiders do.
I know that's a very random little...
That is a really random
white
note.
Uniform.
And I am with you, though, on Dallas. There's something about the mystique there. I do like the clean Raiders uni, so I'll give them that. Pittsburgh, I would put in that conversation.
Okay.
I like the simple yellow sleeves with the logo.
Whose helmet do you like better?
I go Pittsburgh on that.
You like the Pittsburgh
logo?
That's
an iconic helmet. It's on one side, not the other.
It is. But that Broncos pretty badass.
Yeah, other than that, man, I might grant you Denver on that one.
Okay.
I'll grant you top five white jersey in the NFL.
For sure.
I'll give you that.
And then one more note, former Titans linebacker Derek Morgan announced that he was retiring today, the age of 30. He says, my purpose in life is bigger than the game. What football taught me was the power of influence. My goal is to create better and more meaningful opportunities for marginalized communities, to break cycles of generational poverty, and build greater wealth and economic mobility.
Wow.
I feel a deep responsibility to leverage my platform for this, end quote.
That's kick-ass, man. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's not retiring. He's gonna. The hard work begins now.
Good little career for him too in the NFL. All right, there's our first NFL whip around in months. How'd that feel, huh?
It felt really good. Felt good to hear that music.
Hey, let's get to this next. From the NFL, sticking into the grass, but on the tennis court.
Oh, that's a thrilling tease.
Did you watch the Wimbledon final? I really want to know. Did you watch Djokovic and Federer? Yes or no, 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Their match was 5 hours and 15 minutes. Is that too long for a championship? That's next on The Fan.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 119 on the fan. Welcome back in. Coming up in 12 minutes, the Blazers over-under win total put out today. I've seen two different numbers. Two. They're not really that different. We'll talk about that. The Wimbledon final was yesterday, early in the morning. There was barely... Okay.
No, sorry.
There was no...
No, wait, sorry. Who is the... Nadal?
Nadal.
He goes... Like, literally, every time he hits it. I couldn't, like, I was watching that. Oh, yeah, nice shot. Good rally there. We have a bunch of tennis bros in the office, so I was forced to watch that on Friday before the show.
Oh, my, I was forced to watch that. Yeah, we held him in his chair. We taped him down. We said, you're watching this.
Made me watch this tennis porn where a guy's moaning.
Federer and Nadal has been a great rivalry. Why would you not watch it?
I couldn't take it seriously with the moaning. Now, I'll give you this. Like, there are some pitchers in Major League Baseball who grunt when they throw, but I feel like a grunt is much different than a moan. It's like, you know, like that.
Well, a bunting is...
No, when they like a grunt when they throw a pitch. Like, Bumgarner will occasionally, the mic will pick him up. Like a, you know, kind of more of a exertion. His was straight moan on Friday.
Yeah, it was.
It's really loud.
Djokovic kind of had a thing going on a little bit. Not much.
He was moaning yesterday, too.
It was 5 hours and 15 minutes, the Wimbledon final. It went to the tiebreaker, so they got to 12 games, tied at 12. Okay. So it's the first to seven. Here you go.
Oh, look at that.
And Djokovic won. He won the Wimbledon final. I think he's now three major championships away from tying Federer. So nice. There's a little bit of the GOAT conversation here. Some people will never change that it's Roger Federer, but some people think Nadal's not too far behind. Mm-hmm. Novak is only 32 years old, which used to be old in tennis terms, and now people are like, these guys are playing till they're 37? Roger Federer is 37?
Hanging on for a while there.
Look, I missed the first hour and 40 minutes, so I'm not going to sit here and grandstand like I'm some big tennis guy. I do appreciate the majors. I don't watch them all the time. But when you get the battles on of Nadal, Federer, Novak versus Roger, I'll watch those. It was exceptional television yesterday.
It sounded like a thrilling match. Is that what they call them?
I was going to say, both you guys, exceptional. A thrilling match.
It sounded like, is that the right verbiage? I don't want
both you guys. It sounded like tennis guy.
Bro. I don't want tennis bro to get mad at me here. Is it a game or a match?
Look.
Game, set, and a match.
Oh, look at that. They got all three of them in there.
I played tennis in high school. All right, I played doubles tennis. Yeah, we went to the state tournament.
Were,
yeah,
you, were you a moaner?
Go did Broncos.
You moan? No. Did you moan out there on the court, on the clay?
I'll tell you right, only like...
Ugh.
Only like two kids probably in the entire state are so good at tennis that they're hitting it that hard to have to make a sound.
Okay.
Most kids in high school aren't hitting the ball that hard, so it's like a nice and easy forehand or backhand.
I feel like I would have done that just to try and throw my opponent off. Because if I'm trying to focus on hitting a tennis ball, like tennis is not easy. I'm terrible at tennis. I've tried a couple of times. It's just not my cup of tea. I get the urge to just want to like hit it out of the entire tennis court. I just go full baseball swing. I can't control that urge. But I feel like if I was a decent tennis player and somebody was moaning on the other side every time I hit it, it would get in my head.
This, you strike me as kid who parents put in a country club tennis lesson and you show up and you're eating a sandwich in one hand, the racket's in the other, and all of a sudden you hear the coach yelling at you, "Don't spill the mustard on the court."
And tennis was never my cup of tea, man.
Look, we can be condescending.
Damn it, Joe.
Newest drop, baby.
I'm trying to get to a serious tennis segment here. It sounded really
Stop
good.
Stop saying it sounded.
Well,
you chose
it.
To have a tea time early.
Okay.
You weren't going to watch this anyway.
No, if I would have been at home, I would have not watched it. But
tennis and soccer for you are basically the same sport. It's okay.
Sure. Yeah, that's a pretty valid way to put it.
I just want
to
know if other people watched it because it was the greatest match I've ever watched.
See, now here...
1,000%.
Here's an interesting thing for me, though, and I will throw him under the bus in this regard. Because there are certain sporting events that are, if they're big enough for you, you're not going to miss them, right? Like, never schedule a tee time the Sunday of the Masters, right? Or, like, even the Sunday of any major championship. I want to be able to watch it. Maybe this weekend you can because you can play in the afternoon because it's over at, like, 11 a.m. That's a different conversation. But if there's something on, you're going to be at home to watch it. Like, Jason Swigard is... He's a bit of a tennis bro. Like, he's into tennis. He follows it. He always talks about it. He's always bringing up Wimbledon here. And like, oh, there's nothing to talk about today. You guys could talk about tennis. Like, well, we're probably not going to talk about tennis.
We don't want to talk about the French Open, Jason Swigard.
I'm not quite into that thing. He golfed with me yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And we teed off at 7:19 at Stone Creek.
You missed the whole match.
With the whole thing. Like, yeah. Gary, we were playing with Gary Sales bro Gary. And on the 17th hole, he was the one that announced it to the group.
Who won?
He said, oh, Joker won.
Yeah.
And we all just kind of, I was like, oh, cool. Swigard said, oh, he won? And that was it.
Hmm.
And I thought Wimbledon was a really big, I mean, it is a big deal.
It is. It's the biggest deal.
You'd think if you were into tennis, you'd want to like, you know what, I kind of want to sit around the house and enjoy that bad boy.
Wimbledon is the Masters of tennis. Fact.
I have nothing to dispute that. I mean, that
it's the same
like
level.
Fact, yeah.
So my thing is, he's either going to come in tomorrow and tell us he DVR'd it and rewatched the whole thing.
For 5 hours, man.
Or it's going to be a lame-ass excuse of why he missed maybe the best match of all time.
For even Tennis Bro out there, though, is there a limit that you could go? Like, it sounds like you watched about 3 hours of that thing.
Oh, I might have watched four.
Do you get to a point?
Now, hold on. I think that's
like, yeah. 5 hours.
I get
is,
it. It's very fair what you're saying.
Because I eventually have to turn baseball games off. Like, if you go, like, 14th inning on me and it's, like, 11 o'clock at night, like, all right, I made it this far. I'm done.
But the thing with tennis, though, is it can be. When you actually give it a chance, it's very captivating.
It's entertaining. I'll give you that. It's entertaining.
You can miss the best shot of the world if you just turn your eyes for a second. So you're sitting there and you're watching them, and sometimes they get great long rallies. Yeah, they still got to deal with this. But you see that they're serving it 120 miles an hour and they're able to return it as if it's no big deal.
It's coming in hot.
They're dropping in shots within the single line, not the doubles line.
Whoa.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Continue.
No,
I'm not down. I'm not poo-pooing tennis. Keep going.
I get it. I get it.
You had a great final yesterday. Now, why were the ratings down?
I don't know. I'm not going to talk about TV ratings for tennis. I have no clue. I know it's not popular, but I don't know.
But, I mean, those are two. I mean, it's that would be a little scary, wouldn't it?
They're two
it?
Greats, yeah. I mean, the only other better final you could have is probably Nadal Federer. That's it.
Yeah.
Because Joker's liked, but nobody's liked close to the level that Federer is.
Yeah.
And then just below him, I would say Nadal barely above.
Sure.
Joker right there. And then you get your randoms who aren't that good, but people love them anyway.
Right.
You know, Andy Roddick had this for a long time. Andy Roddick didn't do anything, and people loved him because he's an American tennis player.
Right.
And we hadn't
right.
seen it in so long.
Right.
It's like, oh, right, we got another one.
Somebody said you have no problem watching golf for 5 hours. Now, that is fair.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I would say it's the same thing. You don't want to miss the shot. You don't want to miss a moment. And,
okay.
And tennis, I would even, between golf, look, you're going to love golf, and most people love golf more. I get it. I do. But tennis is less stoppage time. Like, even when they switch, it's 1 minute. Whereas I can go like five and not know what Tiger's been doing.
Right.
Now, I'm a guy that if you told me Tiger Vision existed and I could just watch Tiger walk, I would watch Tiger walk over watching most of those dudes hit their shots.
Yeah, you're unique in that regard.
Yeah, I'm a Tiger groupie.
Yeah.
Tennis is nice in the sense of they only switch on the odd games. So on the evens, it's like, okay, that game's done. Next game, go.
Right. See, and I will say this, though, about golf, and the only thing I would say to defend golf over watching tennis for five straight hours is, like, if you're watching, like, let's say it's a Saturday at a major championship, like, you're going to see 40 different golfers. Like, you're not watching two guys. Like, occasionally you get that where two guys clear and it's like, that's the final group and let's see who outlasts the other one. But if you're just sitting and watching a normal Saturday at a major championship and you got a pretty close leaderboard, like, you're watching 40 to 50 golfers there, not just two guys.
Rating, somebody said ratings were down because it was 6 a.m.
If somebody else saying it was the highest rate at Wimbledon in 7 years.
Okay.
So did we not do our research on this one? Did we not look up the...
Well, I typed it. I didn't look at the...
I don't do a ton of research.
Hold on. I didn't know I needed to do this for my show prep today. So I will grant you, I did not look these up.
Yeah. I give that listener. We don't do a ton of research. I clicked the wrong story. I clicked 2018.
Okay.
So 2019, yeah, there was a surge up.
So 2018 was down.
Okay. This year's was up. So sorry.
Wow.
And thank you to that listener for pointing that out. Well, I'm glad they were up.
They should be. You got the two biggest names in the sport, man. That's like having like Tiger and Phil go at it on a Sunday at a major championship. Like, if the ratings will be up.
If the college football championship was 5.5 hours, but it was a great game, would we complain?
Oh, God.
Like, take the Georgia-Alabama game.
That's so long,
That was
man.
One of the best games of all time, right? I mean, you can't argue that.
Well, yeah, you can. The first half was atrocious.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was...
They didn't score until the second half.
Okay. Texas-USC.
Okay, I'll give you that.
5 hours, but same kind of back and forth, electric. You're really kind of not sure if the grade's going to win or
not. The tough part is with that is you would answer yes, because by the last 2 hours, you would just have back and forth overtimes. It would be like the Texas A&M LSU game last year. What did that one go to? 7 overtimes before I think LSU finally won or A&M finally won. So there would be a slight difference there.
By the way, this is a very funny. This is one of the biggest questions I get when we go to a fan event. Like, we'll do our fantasy football draft event this year, by the way.
Yeah, we got to announce
August 20th.
Today.
It's on Tuesday.
Yeah, shout out.
We'll give more details, but that's coming up. The biggest question I've got the last 3 years from that event is, what's a text line like? Like, can I send pictures?
No, you can't.
And I show them this. So this is the text. Joker is the reason the ratings were down.
Okay.
The very next text. Jesus, it was Joker and Federer. Why would the ratings be down?
That was Tennis Bro that told us that the ratings were indeed not down.
And I appreciated that. I have no problem being wrong on that.
Yeah.
But that's just a snapshot of our lives. Nobody cares about what you're talking about. The next one. Guys, this is the most interesting thing you've ever talked about. Good luck navigating the waters there, Bob.
Look, I'm just glad that we talked about this so we could get it a fantastic new drop for the show.
Yeah.
That created some solid content for us.
So, I don't know. I thought it was a really good match. You didn't watch. I knew that. But I just want to know if other people were watching the Wimbledon final with me.
I shot a 78 at Stone Creek, so I was...
Nobody cares at all about that.
No one cares!
What do people care less about, your fantasy football team or your golf game?
My handicap's down to a 10-7. I'm feeling
no
great.
No one cares!
No one cares. It's real to me, damn it.
Well, the Blazers, their win total was released today. We have two different numbers depending on what site you see. Are we easily betting the over? We'll talk about that next on 1080 The Fan.
This is a British Open Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th.
On 1080 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in 137. Got a whole bunch still to get to. Some more football stuff in the final hour. We have somebody fasting. Do we have any fasters out there? We got to get to that. Meth Gators.
We knew a guy that fasted once and it didn't go well.
It didn't turn out well for
him.
And it wasn't me. If there was anybody that I'd put my money on to fast at the station, though, it would be you.
Why do you think it would be me? I would think it'd be Cam.
No, you seem like a faster. I get that vibe. I get a fasting vibe from you. I don't know. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You like doing unique food things. Like, I'm not going to eat chocolate for 6 months. It's like, why? You don't have to do that, man. You're in great shape. You can eat chocolate whenever you want.
If I'm dying of a heart attack and you're by me as I'm about to die, I hope you kind of look at me and go, was it worth it? You gave up all that. Was it worth it?
Was that worth it?
And I'm going to look at you and go, damn it, no.
Not in the long run, huh? Let's get to this, though. NBA over-unders are out. Odd Shark tweeted these out about 3 hours ago. Bet Online coming out with some. We've heard, some of these numbers have been bantered about a little bit before. Care to guess, though, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you have, though, who has the highest over-under total in the NBA?
Milwaukee's got it because the East sucks.
It is not, which shocked me.
I don't bet whoever else is second.
Right? So
first.
Milwaukee is number two in the NBA at 54.5. The only team with a higher over-under,
Clippers.
Yeah. 55.5.
Yeah, I'll take the under on that there, Bob.
In the Western Conference with the dude who load manages all year.
I think Paul George is going to load manage too.
Yeah, no thank you, man. I'm easily taking the under on that. And give me the over on Milwaukee. You have probably 7 easily winnable games in the Eastern Conference or winnable teams in the Eastern Conference. They're going to easily hit 55 wins. Milwaukee will next year.
Yeah, I would bet the over on Milwaukee. The reason I bet the Clippers, aside from load management, that team is the same team, and they got to the playoffs without Kawhi and Paul George. So I think they can win a fair amount of games, or at least take their guys and go, we trust you to go out there, and we can set these two on the same night sometimes. Yeah, sometimes we'll sit Kawhi, sometimes it'll be Paul.
Yeah, he only played, 63 games last year? 65 games last year.
I don't think they're going to win 56 games. The West is going to be tough, and it's going to be a battle, but 56 seems a bit high for the one seed in the West. Portland's is interesting because I went on the Action Network because my original number that I saw was from Quick.
Mm-hmm.
But the Action Network shows 3 different sites, and the number's different by 1, but it's kind of the same thing.
So the Blazers come in at 44.5. So essentially, you might see a 43 or 45, but 44.5 is the one from Bet Online that we were looking at today. And if you're wondering how many teams are ahead of them in the Western Conference, 6. So according to Las Vegas, the Blazers will finish as the 7th seed in the Western Conference playoffs next year. The teams ahead of them, the Clippers, as I mentioned, they're number 1. The Jazz, Vegas is buying your Jazz hype. 52.5 for Utah. That's number 2 in the West. 51.5 for the Lakers. 51.5 for the Rockets. 50.5 for Denver. And then 47.5 for Golden State.
50.5 for Denver?
50.5 for Denver.
I would take the over.
So Portland is 6 games below Denver. They're 3 games below Golden State and almost 10 games below the Clippers. It should be mentioned, last year Portland's over-under was set at 42, and they won 53 games. West landscape, completely different, so we'll see how it shakes out this year. But that is one thing that the Portland Trailblazers have been very good at, is having low expectations in Vegas and exceeding them by a wide margin the last couple of years.
I mean, look, you put certain teams at the top because you know it's going to attract more money. If you put Portland at the top, is everybody flocking to the sports book like the same as if it's the Lakers, the Knicks, the Clipper, you know, some big market team, the Heat, what have you? No. Vegas is, I think, underselling Portland a bit here. And this goes more with the locals seem to think the team is better versus the national scene is like, man, they didn't really do anything at all. I will take the over there. I think they are going to be between 46 and 49. I don't think they're going to win 50. I don't think they're winning 50 plus. That doesn't mean they're going to have a bad seed, though, either. I just think the West is really going to be a fight every single night. And 49 wins could get you a 2 seed, could get you a 3 seed.
It could
get you a 4.
Yeah.
I think Portland, their bet on the 45.5. You can't take health into effect here. I think you just got to go off your gut. My gut says if they're healthy and playing, they're winning 46 to 49.
Yeah, that's an easy over bet for me. Knowing what you have coming back, I like the moves you made in the offseason. You have the addition of Nurkic coming at some point. And you sent out the tweet earlier, and I think it's accurate. Portland has always been one of those teams that is a good regular season team. Like, they don't take opponents lightly very often. They'll have a couple of clunkers here and there, but everybody will throughout 82 games. They're not one that's going to coast for stretches. I think there's some teams you look at in the NBA that they're just going through the motions. Like for example, like prime Spurs teams, like that would always be a scary one for me because how many games will the Stars play? What nights will they rest? Like, you just don't know how the regular season is going to look for them because they have an ultimate goal in mind. And I would like Portland to get to that point of just knowing, hey, we're gonna rest our guys 10 games a year. We feel good. We get into the playoffs. We know we can compete with everybody. It's not worth it for us to, you know, fight tooth and nail over a 5 seed instead of a 4 seed. Like, we'll get there and see how it goes in the playoffs.
But see, even with the Clipper point I made, if Kawhi sits and Paul plays, or Paul George sits and Kawhi plays,
you
or
still
they
have
both
one
sit,
guy.
Right, but if they both sat, that's, again, a roster that has been made up of guys who have proven they've been to the playoffs. So if they sit both guys at the same time, I wouldn't fault them because they go, our guys are scrappy and they'll fight, and this is their time to go get their points. If Portland load manages Dame and CJ for 10 games, How different is their season?
I wouldn't do them in the same game. I would do them in alternating games. So sure. At least you have that. And I think a lot of it comes down to Simons. If Simons shows to be the live up to the potential that people are giving him right now, and he's a guy that can get you, you put him in the starting lineup, and he can match CJ's 20 points per game.
Like, could you beat without Dame?
You'd lose death, no doubt about it. But
if you cut 10 from Dame, cut 10 games to load manage Dame, could they beat the Suns?
Yes.
The Pistons.
Yes.
The Hornets.
Yes.
You know, the crap
the Cavs,
of the NBA.
The Knicks.
The Cavs.
The
yeah.
Wizards, probably.
And if I'm Portland, and you really are starting to maybe think about this, because Dame turned 29 today.
He did. Happy birthday, Dame.
And if you're thinking about load management this year, because Kawhi is all on it. We know LeBron's been on it. The Spurs are always on it. This is becoming a regular thing. Portland needs to circle those games, and they need to specifically say, Dame, we know you love playing in the Garden, so you can play in New York. When the Knicks come here, you're not playing.
No, Anthony Simons, go do what you did against Sacramento. Go off, take 30 shots.
Charlotte on the road and Charlotte at home.
Yeah.
Dame, you're going to have a night. Like, I don't think they will.
No.
They value the regular season a lot. I think Neil loves to tell you that they were the 3 seed in the loaded West. And because of that is another reason I'm taking the over. They just care, and not every team on this list cares. But I would love, as a Blazer fan, to watch them do that. Go through your schedule and label your 10 teams. You don't have to ever publicly release it. You don't ever have to say anything about it. You can bullcrap your way through
sure.
it. Well, happen to be in the right schedule, and our trainers think at this amount of time, Dame should take it off. Versus saying, the Phoenix Suns suck.
They're really bad.
We can beat them without Damian Lillard. They need to do that this year. I would love to see some load management.
I've been arguing that all offseason, man. You saw how worn out those guys were, whether it was at the end of the Denver series or in the conference finals, when we had to go through that whole conversation about is Dame gassed? Is he out of, you know, they have not experienced playing that deep into the postseason before. And now that you got a taste of it, you realize what it takes. And we can all make fun of Kawhi Leonard for doing it, but it worked for the Spurs for years, and it worked for Kawhi Leonard last year.
Yeah.
Guess it was healthy when he needed to be healthy and playing at his best when he needed to be playing at his best.
Kawhi
Leonard. So we'll see if that changes. What do you think on the Blazers? 44.5 is the over-under for them. We'll read some of your thoughts. We have a poll question on this as well. Also, the Ben Simmons deal, I want to get back into that just briefly, as they gave a max deal to a guy who can't shoot. Is that a smart idea? One more basketball topic. We'll get back into some football stuff coming up in the final hour. Crunch Time's next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgment.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
I needed a good pounding today.
No days off!
Thank you, thank you.
No days off!
That better not get... I mean, that...
I needed a good pounding today.
Really?
No!
What the hell is happening right now? I had a leg day today.
They stink so bad you can't even make it up.
Oh, how about this one? This one came from the depths today. I listened to it. I told him it was perfect length.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
That happened.
What's your perfect length, Joe?
Not sure. Not sure at all.
Well, you told him today, so
yeah.
What
told
is
him
it?
Today.
No,
you
that
tell
was
him?
A drop from like a year or two ago.
What's
I can't
the number?
Know. Maybe 7?
Crunch Time on the Fan.
Hey, we got some football stuff coming up in the final hour, so don't go anywhere. Somebody fasted, and we also have meth gators to talk about. Okay. I can't believe you just said that. Okay, so we were talking about over-unders in the NBA. Blazers at 44.5. We all like the over on that. We're all taking the over bet.
Must be a lucky lady.
Yeah, not you and me, huh, bud? Let's run through some... Give me your first initial reaction, okay?
Okay.
I know you already gave me this, but I'm going to run through the top, like, six teams in the East. Bucks, 54.5.
Over.
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 Okay. Philly, 53.5.
Over.
Hmm.
Over.
Yeah, you're buying Philly this year.
I like Philly. I think adding Horford along with a heartbreaking loss. Embiid cried walking off the court.
He did, yeah.
I think that really stuck with them. I think they're going to be locked in this year.
Celtics 48.5.
I'll take the under because I like them right at 48.
Okay. Pacers right there at 48.5 with them.
I'll take the under as well. I think they're going to be...
When's Oladipo? Is the Oladipo going to be ready for the start of the year?
Yeah, he should be back. Okay. Yeah, he should be good.
That's one of those teams, though. They strike me as a Blazers light of the Eastern Conference. Like, they're going to take the regular season really seriously.
Oh, the Pacers?
They're not a load managing team. They're fighting for something. So that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. The Nets, 45.5 with just Kyrie. And what they had last year.
What did they win last year? Do you have that?
Sorry. I can have it for you in one moment, Bob.
Okay. 45, no KD all year. Hey, by the way, do you see they're trying to sell us that KD might come back next season?
Yeah, just stop it. That would be the dumbest thing of all time to
they're
rush
not gonna
him back next year.
They're, I don't know why
maybe
they're
you're trying to
game.
Sell tickets. I don't know. Brooklyn won 42. They were 42-40 last year. So can they improve by 4 wins?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Kyrie can help them.
Okay. And then you got Toronto at 45.5. I'll take the under on that. Championship hangover.
What was the 8 seed?
The 8 seed in the Eastern Conference was the Detroit Pistons at 41-41.
Yeah, I'll take the under, but right around that number.
Okay. Any of the ones that stand out to you? You said you like Denver over 50.5.
I think Denver's going to be the 1 seed.
Golden State would scare me at 47.5, just not knowing when Clay's going to get back and what the Russell situation is early in the season, how that fit. That's a unique one.
Steph is amazing, and Draymond is great what he does, and D'Angelo may fit pretty well. I'm not getting the crowd, and look, this is not a lack of respect for the Warriors. That would be stupid to watch the NBA for 5 years now and act like we don't know the Warriors are great at basketball. Their role players aren't great. What am I missing?
Yeah, they had bench issues last year.
Right, so what am I missing if their best defensive player is not playing till March?
I think people would argue, yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, it's just when Clay comes back, they would argue, well, that team swept a team in the conference finals with no bench and without basically the same team.
I guess I get that to a certain extent, but
Houston twice.
When was the last time Steph had to play a full season being the only guy?
And that, to me, is the unique aspect, is the usage. He's been able to not needed to be relied upon night in and night out at times. He's been able to take a back seat from game to game if he needed to. Like, you don't need Steph to score you 30 points per game when you have Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all the other guys that are around him. So I think it's going to be a different feel for them this year, and it's going to be back to more of a Golden State Warriors of old. And does he wear down as the season goes on? And then when Klay Thompson comes back, what's he like? I think that's the thing hanging over Portland season two is Nurkic. What does he look like when he comes back? How healthy is he and how effective is he? ACLs guys can get over that, I understand, but you just never quite know. Does it take him a month to kind of get his feel back and his rhythm back? So that's a unique one, I think, for Golden
State. I'll take the under on them.
I do like the under almost on everybody in the West. Denver, I think I'm with you. I could take the over on that, but I'd take the under on the Clippers, 55.5. Utah, I do think Utah's going to be good. I just think the West is stacked. Can they get to 53 wins in this Western Conference?
52 feels like their ceiling.
Right. They're 52.5. Lakers at 51.5. I'd take the under on that. I think they're going to manage those loads all year.
Well, I think the Lakers are willing to go... We can be a 7 seed and win this.
Just get in the dance, baby.
Yeah, all that matters is getting in. It's not like LeBron hasn't had historically great games on the road anyway.
Right, and then...
By the way, I just watched an interview with Anthony Davis yesterday with Rachel Nichols. I know he's not going to be a well-received guy in this league and people hate him for like the next 2 years. It kind of scared me because he seems like he's super locked in on just destroying the league this year.
He's fired up.
He's not playing in any USA stuff.
Yeah, he's not doing the FIBA stuff.
He gave up the $4.5 million sign and trade kicker. Like, it's little things like that to me that scream, dude is in a gym every day motivated, and he's coming ready to play basketball and beat you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And then I also like the under of Houston, 51.5. That's going to take a while to gel in my mind. I'll take the under on that. The other big NBA...
How many 50-win teams do you think there will even be in the West? I think that's the toughest question.
I'll give them 2.
Yeah.
Maybe the Clippers, I'll give them a chance to get there. Utah maybe can get there. Maybe Denver, but... I'm not willing to bet that all of them do it.
Well, you had 3 last year, right? In Golden State, Denver, and Portland.
Last year,
or no,
you
not
had 5.
5,
because
yeah.
Utah squeaked to 50 with the... no, they lost their last game. So they got to 50 the night before. So yeah, you had 5 teams of 50. But Utah was right out that number. And then Houston, Portland both had 53. Denver had 54, and Golden State had 57.
That's right.
But the bottom of the Western Conference is much different. Dallas being better, New Orleans, I think, being more competitive. The Lakers aren't going to be the pushover they were late in the season. Clippers are better.
I think a real test of depth, the 8 seed was the Clippers with 48 wins. How many wins does the 8 seed have this year in the West?
I'd take 5 off of that.
Yeah, see, I was thinking 45-ish.
Yeah, I'd go 44, 45, 43 maybe if everybody beats up or injuries happen. I think it's just going to be a war of attrition. Outside Oklahoma City and Phoenix,
well,
maybe Memphis.
Minnesota,
true. But they could end up getting Russell.
Maybe.
I don't know if they will, but.
Maybe. They need to move the Wiggins contract. But if they don't, I think Minnesota, Memphis, and Phoenix are for sure the three teams you would say no chance. And then you kind of have some questionable ones, like the Spurs might be good enough to do it again. Do the Kings take a step? Does Dallas take a step?
Yeah.
And the Pelicans are an interesting mix of youth and excitement and potential mixed with vets who have been established and
it's
proven.
Not going to be a gimme. That I know. I don't know how good New Orleans is going to be. I just know they're not going to be a gimme throughout the course of the year.
Right.
The other big note of the day in the NBA, if you care, Ben Simmons signs a 5-year, $170 million deal with Philadelphia for a guy that can't shoot. It's a lot of money. But we talked to somebody from Philly earlier. He's a great defender. He's a great passer. He can rebound. He can do everything except shoot the basketball. And he seems to be okay giving it to somebody who is just about to turn 23 years old. We forget how young he is sometimes.
Well, yeah. I mean, he had to do the stupid one-and-done thing at LSU. And look, I think that's the gamble here, right? Like, Philadelphia signing him to a 5-year 170, we can laugh at that and go, well, he can't shoot. He won't even attempt a shot. What do you do if you're Philly? You're not punting on Ben Simmons. You're not giving up on him at 22.
No, you're not trading him. You're not getting,
And quite frankly, even though they're probably willing to pay the tax, which Kevin Kincaid told us earlier on the ticker, are you wanting to give Jimmy Butler 180, Tobias Harris 180, Joel Embiid a max, and Ben Simmons? Yeah. And they brought in Al Horford.
For $100 million too.
The math just didn't work. It never made sense to me, even with the tax. So you sign Al Horford, and that may end up being a bad contract the last year or two of that deal. But I think he helps you. You have Tobias coming back. Maybe he feels more comfortable in his role now that Jimmy's gone. Joel, obviously you're going to need Embiid and Harris to carry the load scoring-wise. You need Horford to be right there. Josh Richardson's going to get you some buckets. It's not like you need Simmons to go average 20.
No.
So they're banking on the future, and their future is Simmons, Embiid, mixed in with the Tobias Harris contract, and obviously a Josh Richardson coming in.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to Mitch. We'll see if he can improve the shooting a little bit. I do give him the benefit of the doubt. He's only 22, turning 23. Like, he can improve in that regard. He was working on it last year, and I think he can. He's never going to be a 38% three-point shooter, but you just come to a respectable number where you can't back off him by 10 feet. It does change his game completely, and he becomes one of those unstoppable guys in the league. But he got a 5-year, 170 max deal today. There you go. Some NBA talk for you. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, there are updated college football playoff odds and over-unders in the Pac-12. A lot of over-under talk today. We do have a poll question on that, though, in the Pac-12. Which of the four Northwest teams are you most willing to bet the over? And my answer might actually surprise you. We have college football playoff odds to get to because there's one team on the list that has a really good chance, according to Vegas, to get to the college football playoff that I'm just not understanding whatsoever. So we'll tell you what team that is and try and figure out how they have such high odds to get there. We'll start, though, with some fun. Somebody fasted, and there's the audio to prove it. Have you ever fasted before? Also, there's meth gators coming to a town near you. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.